So John, essentially my presentation is kind of like John's, but with a little bit of a different spin. All right, we talked about what a grid was. Make sure this is my right deck. All right, hold on. Grid and healthcare, you mentioned Health Grid. Talked about, just bear with me here, I'm gonna get to the meat I wanna talk about. All right. It's taken me about 3 years to learn about, to relearn grid about 15 times. Because I think, oh, is that what grid is? And then I learn, I'm like, oh, is that what grid is? And so it's been a long time to really get this. When I've heard people say, well, wasn't it like the internet? What's the whole deal with the grid? And so as I've listened and I've learned, to me, when I think about grid, the key takeaway messages that I think about is it is not centralized, A, and B, it is secure. And those are the huge concepts for me that really help me take away how is this different from other things? And in a sense, on this picture, which we've shown way too many times, is that there isn't this centralized supreme control. It is an ecosystem, it is a community where those entities can share what they choose to share with other entities, but they have an infrastructure in which to do that. So we have a team that I'm extremely proud of who works with partners, and together we start to look at what grid does well, what grid does not do well, where does it apply well to public health, and where does it not? In other words, learning the gaps. It's basically learning the beast, and it's been an incredible adventure to go through this process and learn. And so part of my advocacy is, although it's a very odd term, this concept of research, in a sense, having a place where we could make mistakes and figure out what this is all about instead of saying, we have to build X for this group. It's like, give us some time to figure this out a bit before we start making these decisions. So this diagram that you saw briefly from John's, what I liked about this is it's the corollary to the beautiful sort of Pentagon conceptual diagram. Well, this is over the years of thinking this through and actually starting to watch it exist. And in this diagram, we said, okay, we're gonna have public health partners, whoever they may be. And there's gonna be CDC for the variety of programs, and then there's gonna be a shared environment that doesn't really sit with either of those. And the takeaway message is there's collaboration tools, wikis, blogs. There's going to be a service registry. You have to have an easy way to find out, sort of like going to eBay, what's out there? What services are available to use? And lastly, of course, is a security platform, an easy, secure platform that makes sense, that I can use a digital certificate, I can easily acquire one, I can use username and passwords that work with the certificates. That has to be part of this. If it's not secure, public health won't feel comfortable using it. Now, of course, there's going to be data that's public data, and there's going to be extremely very private data in this whole spectrum of like, well, there's HIV data versus zip code data. And not everything has to have that same level of security, but it has to have the capacity for that level of security. So I love this diagram just because of conceptually what this is about. What this diagram says is, as was briefly mentioned, there's going to be these services, meaning saying, I want to do visualization of X, and I want to do the QSIM analytics, and I want to do blank, and I want this, and it doesn't exist yet. What the service stack means is there's going to be an ecosystem of services, whether they're for biosurveillance, whether they're for cancer registries. These services will grow and will die and evolve. Just like, you know, just like Amazon.com, you know, it's going to be an ecosystem where I'd like to see it in time that there's a rating system where this service gets 5 stars. It's robust, it's very powerful, it's very efficient. And in time, you know, it's personally, my perspective is the grid infrastructure doesn't care exactly what services are going to be in this ecosystem. Let the community grow what services are needed. So this one community, this area, has these 17 services that are valuable. And they can choose to share those with the rest of the community or say, look, we're just gonna keep these local, they're meeting our needs. But that's the philosophy. And what this diagram shows is up toward the top, it says domain-specific services, meaning these are public health services. So we talked, there's a poison one, there's one that's dealing with aggregate data, but then the section down below says infrastructure services. So this is sort of like the stuff that you really don't want to see, sort of the transparent stuff that hopefully just works, where you have encryption and audit logging and access control, sort of the nitty-gritty, does the engine work? So that's, again, just to give you a flavor of, well, does the grid do X? It's like, well, the grid actually doesn't care, but if you want to work on a new kind of algorithm, a new natural language processing engine, you can create that and then expose that on the grid and let people try it out and use it and let someone else take it, because it's open source, take it, make changes to it, and have their own version of that service that runs on the grid. And so you might say, well, how is this service stuff different than other services? There are modifications such that it can deal with the security that's built into this. So, and just to give you something I want to throw out there, the services that are out there I see as sort of version 1.0 services, basic services that do the job about sharing data. But there are version, I see it as like second generation and third generation services that when you run this service, it can take advantage of the computational power, it can do a lot of things that we haven't been able to do, but grid has the capacity to take those services to the next level. But that takes a lot of thought, and that we have to get there. So the take-home message from this slide, which I think is the bigger picture, is we are not trying to reinvent the wheel in the sense that our partners who were involved with the Cancer Bioinformatics Grid effort have done fantastic work with security infrastructure. So our perspective is, we're not going to try to redo this. Life's too short for that, as I'm learning. And so we're working with them to leverage what they've done. And the beauty of this that I over time, I'm appreciating the elegance of this, is that it makes security much easier to deal with. And not that I'm being biased, but it's sort of watching the phones and seeing how much easier the iPhone meant, it changed things. And to me, this makes that whole security issue, which is critical, makes it much easier. So for us, again, it's leveraging expertise of others. So what has been our goal? What have we tried to achieve over these past couple years? And really, it's a secure, easy to use, infrastructure to solve public health problems. As I've learned humbly over the years at CDC, is that it does a gazillion, CDC and its partners, public health is not like X. Public health is this huge spectrum of activities, and therefore to say we've got the solution, that's gonna change and evolve over time, and therefore our goal was, can we have an infrastructure that is liquid enough that can handle that change over time and grow as public health evolves? Because now we're dealing with public health and clinical care integration, and that's changing the landscape. And we wanted to make sure that this was definitely low cost. And therefore the philosophy of, now not that open source equals low cost, but our whole philosophy of it's an open source infrastructure that's easy to use. And if you said to me, what's the most inexpensive way to do something, I'd say, well, I would use a distributed infrastructure that was open source. It's sort of like what philosophy is gonna be less expensive. We want things to be as easy as drag and drop. And no, we're not all there yet. But that's the philosophy, is if it's not easy to use, it's not gonna get used. We really have to have that philosophy. And as many, we have a wide variety of partners. And I think people have been very interested in this because they can see that we're not forcing anyone into a specific way of being. That they said, well, I don't want to use that service. We're like, well, then don't use that service. Modify one that we have the code for and change it. And they're like, oh, we can do that. That's not a big deal. And by trying to make as much as possible some tools out there to make it that easy to use. So if you have your database and here are your data elements, and we've got a service that you literally can run a small Java app and map your data element to the data element in the database. So, as we evolved, our philosophy was saying in the beginning, can you just volunteer with us? Funding wasn't a huge issue at the moment. We just said, just let us try this out together. And so we tried to have people who were expertise in public health, technical, and of course, those that were very good at ambiguity. Because we were sort of, and this is what I love about public health informatics investigation and research, is that's how you evolve the field of public health informatics, that by doing this, we can now provide even greater tools to public health by doing this. And we want this easy, again, standards-based, of course, easy to use. But of course, everyone has a standard, but we really have tried to follow standards. So our methodology was really the classic research model. We made a hypothesis, we did some testing, we got some results back, and we continued to evolve. And I think someone had mentioned it, we used a very agile process. We didn't say, let's acquire all the requirements, right? And then we have to build this massive thing, and that's just not smart. For us, it was, let's get some requirements we can start with, and let's work on this, and is this what you meant? Is this what you guys like? And then continue to have a rapid evolution process. And it's the agile development process, and it's been really rewarding versus before we do anything, let's get to millions of requirements, because everything really does change over time, and having much more of a liquid philosophy, I think, has helped us a lot. Because where we are now versus where we thought we'd be is very different. So the key challenge on this is that we didn't know GRID, and we had to sort of become kind of GRID people in the process and talk to lots of GRID experts. And yeah, there are some definite gaps between what public health does and what GRID provides, and figure out what those gaps are. In a sense, it's like taking, you know, your pencil over that object and sort of sketching it out and seeing what the landscape is. So how should you think about this? It is secure. It is secure as anything else that's out there. And it is about an instantiation of the tech speak of a service-oriented architecture. In other words, it's a tinker toy approach. If you don't like X, don't use X, but that doesn't take down the whole infrastructure. And it really is a community. The GRID does not have a sort of a central command. It's a community that's sharing its resources. You can choose to share your computational resources or not. You're not forced to do whatever you want. Okay, so how am I doing on time? Am I way off? I need like 5 minutes. I'm in the zone, so I'm trying. Just give me like a couple minute warning.
Yeah, 2 minutes warning.
Okay. So I want to show you this. I'm not about me in the sense that this other group did this, and this may be familiar with some of the CA big people. An entity, this was Northwestern, and what I liked about what they did was, you don't even know you're using their GRID infrastructure. They created a nice web interface and said, look, we want to be able to pull data sets. We want to do some geolocation stuff. As you can see up there, it says categorical analyses and visualization. And all you do is you literally select your data set, what year, and you can see these various data sets that are all around the country distributed in a GRID infrastructure. So it's about removing the complexity for the end user. And my philosophy is the public health community, the users are like, I don't care about GRID. Make it work and make it work well. And so, you know, I'm in love with GRID and wow, that's amazing. I know that the actual end users don't really care. They're like, if this works well and it's secure, then that's fine. So part of our job is for us to know the techie stuff and to separate that from the end user experience. And so this is definitely the vision of where it needs to go, where GRID's just behind the scenes. So just briefly, so what we had, what we end up doing is going through these various sort of mini projects and learning along the way. And so as we started down this process, our first sort of the hello world was saying, could we do a search of a non-centralized database? And so we worked with the RODS lab, and we were able to actually do a Google Maps visualization of data from two hospitals in two different, you know, regions, but have that data pulled into one location. And, you know, without creating a centralized database on demand, just pulling the summary data that we needed. So for us, it was, again, could we do a distributed query? And the answer was yes. And we're like, okay, step one achieved. So it really does work. And then briefly, we started focusing on some other entities around poison, as you heard previously, and it was about trying to have a nice visualization of poison data, leveraging essentially a service, meaning they have their data, let the data stewards hold their data, we can focus on what we do well, and we pull that data, so they can just focus on their data, and they don't have to worry about how we're visualizing it. They just said, look, we don't want to give you all of our data, we'll let you have specific elements, And that's the beauty of the service. So if you've got 400 elements in your database, you can create one service that exposes 16 to this entity and another one that exposes 17 to this entity. You've got control of what you choose to share. So it's less of ascending data, although you can, than it is of exposing specific data elements to specific partners. And that, to me, seems very palatable. And we put some nice sort of epi counts and frequencies of cases. And this was nice. I've got 5 minutes. Okay. All right, let me just keep flying. All right, did I just tell this? Whoa, I went all the way back up to the top. That was nice. All right, let me just keep on chugging here for a second. Moving forward, okay. Part of the challenge is, for me, not blending the development of the services with the development of the infrastructure. So to me, Grid, from my perspective, in my role, is to make sure that the infrastructure is easy to install, robust, flexible. What goes in it, the services, I sort of feel like there's going to be gazillions. We can't worry about all of them. Let's create the infrastructure of creating those, but let public health and its partners and its academicians and let them figure out what they want. One of the ones that's gotten a lot of visibility is something called Gypsy. With the focus of Gypsy, really, it's a service that's focusing on aggregate data for biosurveillance purposes. And I think there's a lot of value in this, but this has to be the value of all these services need to be evaluated and discussed with the community. It's not my role to say, I think we should use Gypsy. I think the community will say in time, okay, we need to make some changes to Gypsy, we like the concept, but we've been spending some time and effort to help facilitate that because there's a lot of interest right now in this to share aggregate data for H1N1, so I understand that. But just understand that my perspective is there in time should be 1,000 services to fulfill 1,000 different needs, and the infrastructure is hopefully built that it can handle all that, because if there were ever a scalable infrastructure, it's a Grid infrastructure. I probably have like 1 minute left. Boring architecture diagrams, basically showing that whatever model works for you. So if you're an entity and say, listen, I don't want to expose my data. I'm in a hospital. You're not going to get into my firewall. Well, we've been working with our partners to figure out a way. Did I show the right one? Which is the producer collector. This diagram, takeaway message from this diagram is that we have a infrastructure that allows you to take the data instead of us pulling the data through your firewall into the hospital, that you could actually, you on a daily basis, send a subset of your data to, in a sense, a supernode, and says, look, you can ping the supernode all you want, but it's outside of our firewall. So the technology is there, and now it's a matter of finding really what works for the various entities. And that was the mapping of entities I was just saying, that making this very easy to use. I probably have 1 minute left. PhGrid NHN interoperability. This is obviously critical, and we believe firmly in this, that it's about working with the NHN to provide this common service infrastructure. So that in a sense, the PhGrid allows a lot of the public health entities to share data with the NHN infrastructure. So just want to give you 2 cents on that. And it was just mentioned, we use a ton of open source tools, Hibernate, Tomcat, JBoss. I just like all the names. The Grid, that we had a blog that's really helped us out. The wiki's been phenomenal to be able to share all this, because I can't keep track of all the documents that we've been generating. There's actually the SourceForge example up on SourceForge. You can download the code. I am extremely proud of this service registry. Why? To me, this is like the Tinker Toy page. You can go on the service registry and take a look at which partner is creating what service, and how to get access to the code, and all the various services. They range from natural language processing to geocoded services, and they're all working on the common infrastructure. So I'm probably done, and I hit the first slide again. Let me just go back up one slide. Hold on. Give me 1 more second. Just very quickly, we learned a lot of lessons, made a lot of mistakes, such as life and as it should be. We're continuing to make this easier to use, working with the NHN, working with our partners. You know, we have a lot of things we need to continue to learn. We have a lot of partners within CDC now, a lot of academic partners, public health partners. You know, we've come a long way. We have a long way to go. We still really believe in this infrastructure, which doesn't force you to do anything other than a common infrastructure to share with share what you want to share and to not share what you don't want to share. And with that, thank you very much for your time. I made it through! Woo!
Thank you very much, Dr. Sawal, for the comprehensive and insightful and articulate presentation. Let's open up the floor for questions. Who want to go? Okay.
With stimulus funding, there are going to be a number of statewide organizations that do health information exchange and regional extension center technical assistance. How will the grid relate to those statewide entities and the NHN partnering the public health with the medical?
And you're from?
Bob Harmon, Duval County Health Department, Jacksonville.
Thank you.
So great question. And as I've listened to these whole now new extension centers that are going to exist, I think the grid perspective is going to be a bit more on sort of the NHN side. That as you have this NHN infrastructure and the NHN gateways, that the grid nodes that exist will be able to allow the NHN gateway to pull data from those. So if you're a state health department and you actually have one of the PH grid nodes installed where you're exposing some summary data from your NEDS-based system, that awareness, meaning that as you start to then implement some EMRs or whatever goes on, that we're gonna have the awareness that our data can actually potentially through NHN be pulled into some of these EMRs. So I think it's like a link. There's a whole sort of chain process. But I think public health needs to make sure, regardless of whether it's grid or not, is part of this whole process to make sure that grid is that public health, whether it's through the grid, is not an afterthought with these vendor implementations of medical record systems. So no, great question.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll
Thank
be.
You. Okay. A gentleman in the back. Could you please introduce?
Yes, you.
Perry Smith, New York State. My question is a naive question, although it may sound like a hostile question.
Oh, excellent.
We heard this morning, virtually all three of the major speakers this morning said that we have to be able to articulate in simple, succinct language why we are going to new technology. A new phase. And I just wondered if you could, and this is where my naivete comes in, what is, if you were trying to persuade public health people as to why we needed to go to this, because you've said this is going to be complicated, it's a huge investment,
right.
And for people like me, it's a mind stretch to figure out what we're talking about.
Okay.
What is the simple, compelling reason why public health wants to embrace this?
So I've thought about this a lot, a ton. And the first thing that comes to mind is, just before I tell the answer, is this, it would be like the philosophy of saying, like, before we build the internet, we gotta have a use case for the internet. In a sense, it was a technology that made a lot of sense, and in time it grew and evolved. And so as I've gone to almost every single Fin conference and listened to everyone talk, is everything isn't perfect. Things aren't working perfectly. And it's sort of in the sense of, that's why I'm glad there's people who know technology way beyond me, is that I want them to be out there saying, you know, there's something that's coming that makes a lot of sense. And in a sense, that's the role of public health informaticians to a huge degree, is to say, we've learned a lot and we think X is can really help you. In a sense, when public health, I'm sure, adopted the use of the internet for, you know, web-based systems, I think of, what was it, the Assessment Edition has the web-based data query systems. And I think it's a matter of, you know, this philosophy of trying it out, that we haven't made a huge investment yet, and as if we start small and grow, and it makes sense and it's actually working, to let that evolve as an ecosystem. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but if all of a sudden in time it starts catching on, then maybe we're really onto something that finally is something that public health says, you know, you're not making me install all these new things and you give me some flexibility. This is, you know, if I don't have to invest that much, this is actually making a big difference. So I guess that's my philosophy so far. Is it's definitely, given everything I've seen, that we're, things are not perfect, it's worth a look at this.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Okay, quick follow.
Could you give an example of, I don't know what it would be, like, you know, notifiable disease reporting. How does this change what we do for our FEX?
I'll give you an example. Dr. Frieden mentioned a system that he loved. He said it was paper-based. He said it was paper-based. I'm like, okay, so how does that data get shared with other electronic systems? I'm just saying, that's the truth. I'm like, you know, and just as a first, that there are clearly a lot of paper-based things out there, but for those that are already electronic, that if you have an existing database, using this infrastructure, which is based on this service-oriented architecture, it doesn't involve you saying, I'm going to take this system and I'm going to somehow marry it to system X. It's saying, I have this certain database, and if you allow me to have a small web service that can ping specific elements, those data elements can now be shared with any other entity that chooses to have this web service. So in a sense, the technology is finally at the point where, with a small incremental modification, meaning a web service, it's not a huge thing to install a web service, you now can expose that data to whoever else wants to use that data. So I mean, that it opens up doors that have been closed before without a tremendous, huge, year-long development process. And that's sort of the philosophy now that we're trying to go with.
Thank you. Ma'am?
My name is Ginger Roll. I'm from a frontier county of only 9,000 people in southeastern Montana. But that's why technology is so important to us, because it's so hard geographically and logistically to get hold of people. So my question is, we're having the same problem, is getting people into the technology age to actually use them, because we work with a lot of medical people, nurses, that are interested in people, not in information and technology. So how can we convince them that what they already have, and you've hit on this many times, but the process that we've already used and the money we've already put into data systems that we already have, those can easily tie into this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to reinvent it again. We don't have to buy a new program.
Right.
And can I easily find that on there to tell them that, bring this information to the state and local level?
Mm-hmm. I would say yes. We for at least in terms of our initiative, we tried to document everything we've done, and we need to do more of it. But yes, and I think the key thing that was mentioned, by the way, we said something about you had to be a grid node to be. Remember, you said about getting a node and all that. You don't even have to be a node to be a consumer of the data. That's the beautiful thing. You have to be a node to be a producer, but if you want to be a consumer, all you need is authorization, which is basically a digital certificate, which is reasonable because I want there to be security. You get a certificate that you request, and now you have access to log into a portal and say, I want to get access to this data and this data, and you can authorize. So that's...
But our own data can be put in there, we can use it locally.
You can do the whole thing locally, exactly. And what I like about the whole grid infrastructure and the service infrastructure is it doesn't care whether it's local or international. It's just like seeing a source and a, you know. So anyway.
As a nurse, I just want to say, if you were just recovering, you would have been bouncing off the walls.
Well, people who know me know that this is actually kind of like me dampened. No, really. So this, yeah. So finally, thank you very much.
We have time for one last question. It's a very big man. Huh?
Why are we still creating a public health silo versus being a whole one grid that serves the whole health system?
So fantastic question, absolutely fantastic question. And we actually did this after learning about Health Grid itself, the both national and international initiative. And So two things. The services that will be used within this public health grid infrastructure may be unique, which is fine. But the infrastructure, although we call it the public health grid, is really the same exact infrastructure because it's Globus. So in a sense, we just branded it that. But the key thing is that our grid infrastructure is the same as the health grid initiative. So yeah, it's just a term we're using, I think, to help get some embracing, like this is ours and sort of like it's your baby. It's kind of, I mean, that sounds glib, but I mean that's. But the infrastructure is completely compatible. They all can talk to each other.
Thank you very much, Dr. Saval. Let's give a round of applause.